There are some things that are just a perfect match. Hot dogs and mustard, ice cream and hot fudge, and, oh yeah, Clinton and scandals. After making promises to be forthright and forthcoming, transparent regarding her email activity, actions by Hillary Clinton and others in her circle, well, they've not lived up to those promises, yet still their release of Hillary's emails have proven some interesting revelations. What is it that Hillary's trying to hide? Is this maybe part of the reason why so many Democrats are showing support for either Bernie Sanders or drafting Joe Biden for 2016? Here to discuss this from the Washington Examiner is one of the Watchdog reporters, Sarah Westwood. Good morning, Sarah.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
And, of course, it's WashingtonExaminer.com to read Sarah's very detailed reporting about, well, at least as many details as possible that the email releases have shown so far. And, well, regarding that, Sarah, have the email releases so far answered more questions or created more questions?
Oh, unsurprisingly, the emails have sort of raised more questions than they answered, namely because now we know that Hillary Clinton edited out not just emails that she thought, you know, could be damaging to her campaign, but she went through and took out specific passages that could have made her look bad. So that's a concern, and it really, you know, it's everyone should take the emails with a grain of salt when they're reading them, knowing that many have been removed.
Now, the fact that neither one of us being lawyers, but maybe this is something to explore further down the line, we've learned that Hillary sent emails on public domain, which is idiotic to begin with, giving the content some of the emails. But if it's done in the public domain, does that increase the right of the public to know what was done in the public domain?
Of course. I mean, certainly there's still, it's impossible to get those, just as it is to get off her server, because if they're not hosted on a government domain, it's more difficult to obtain them through the Freedom of Information Act, which is how these emails are getting produced in the first place. But it's certainly concerning that she was exchanging messages not just on her ClintonEmail.com domain, which presumably could have had a certain level of protection. We don't know what type of encryptions were there, but that she was also exchanging emails on a public domain that probably doesn't have any more protections than a standard Gmail account. I mean, that's very concerning that, you know, state secrets could have been hosted in that sort of situation.
A lot of the push for this, the document dump, the email release, of course, was the attack on the Benghazi embassy. And again, that's apparently where they're, Cam Clinton is trying to hold back as much as possible, even at this point.
Right. I mean, it's the Clinton campaign, you know, to their credit, hasn't given any of these scandals the legitimacy of addressing them head on. So as long as they keep sort of avoiding giving any weight to the allegations, then, you know, she can allow them to linger in the news for long enough and then dismiss them as old news and right-wing conspiracies. And it's a strategy that has worked for her in the past. There's no reason why it won't continue to work in the future, unfortunately.
That was Sarah Westwood, one of the Watchdog reporters for the Washington Examiner, WashingtonExaminer.com. And you are listening to Issues and Ideas. It seems like the strategy of the Clinton campaign is, well, rather than revealing Hillary to be manipulative or cover up or even a foul up when it comes to Benghazi, they'd rather make her a fool by pointing out an email which shows that she can't operate a fax machine.
Right. I mean, that's sort of the types of emails that her campaign actually highlighted in their defense of this release, saying, you know, these emails make for some fun, lighthearted reading. I mean, look at these, you know, funny, Clinton can't work fax machine, Hillary Clinton asked her aides to bring her iced tea, you know, hoping people focus on that issue and less on the fact that there's clearly huge gaps in content in the emails, and that, you know, she's frequently in contact with top corporate executives that also happen to be huge supporters of her family's foundation, and that they were often asking her for favors. And I mean, these are just the sanitized versions of the emails. It makes you wonder what she actually held back if these are what is included.
And we've also come to know that the Obama White House knew of this whole email setup for Hillary as far back as 2009, and apparently they weren't bothered by that. And, you know, devil's advocate. There are many other people in government positions that did a similar thing. Not a large number, but the precedent was there. So maybe that will, you know, one negates the other. I don't know. That's for others to ponder. But it seems like the frequency of shared actions between the State Department, the Clinton Foundation, and we'll talk about who is Michael Blumenthal and why is his name becoming increasingly interesting in all this?
Well, Sidney Blumenthal wasn't...
Sidney Blumenthal, I'm sorry.
Oh, you're fine. Sidney Blumenthal was an advisor to the Clintons all the way back to Bill Clinton's time in the White House. He was instrumental in Hillary Clinton's 2008 presidential campaign, and because he did so well, Obama's aides said, you're not hiring this guy at the State Department. He's divisive. He has been a foe to the president. He can't come and work here. But it's clear now that Hillary Clinton sort of circumvented that order and hired him anyway off the books because he served as a speechwriter, as a political advisor, basically performing all the duties of a top-tier State Department official, even though he wasn't technically a member of the State Department. And that, of course, has raised a lot of concerns among people that Hillary Clinton was taking diplomatic advice from a political operative.
You know, back in the days of Watergate, we had Deep Throat, and decades later, we found out who that was. I guess now the big political mystery is, at least through the Clinton emails, who is Santa? I mean, given the concept of what we believe Santa Claus to be, that's someone who is a giver, is it safe to assume that, there's all these frequent, I'm seeing Santa at 8:30 and won't take off until closer to 9:30, there's just this whole string of references to Santa, one would believe that is someone who is a big money giver given the world of politics today.
Oh, there's any number of speculations about who that could be. Of course, the Clintons knew what they were doing, and even on this private server, even on these emails that they likely hoped would never see the light of day, they were using code names for certain people. Just shows the level of caution that they took when they're putting things down in writing. It'll be interesting to see if we ever find out who Santa is, but that's certainly a curious code name to assign to someone of importance.
And sort of like what the mafia used to do to keep, because they knew the Federal listening in to what they were up to just cloud over those actions. Certainly there are a lot of the big players in Washington and Democratic politics. They can't play dumb to this because now the emails show exactly who was involved in back and forth emails with this private email server. David Axelrod, Bobo Murkowski, John Podesta, Lanny Davis. The list of who can claim ignorance is getting shorter and shorter now.
Right, and some of the defense of David Axelrod, for instance, has been to say, look, I knew that she had a private account, as we all do. I wasn't aware that she used it exclusively to conduct her government affairs or that those emails were being hosted on a server in her basement. And, there might be some weight to that argument. I mean, that she hid from everyone, even her allies, that she was, had set up this arrangement that clearly broke the law. But certainly it's starting to make people nervous because keep in mind, this is the first production of several we're going to see every month until 2016. So there's going to be a lot more people who could be implicated in future productions.
Wrapping our time with Sarah Westwood, watchdog reporter for the Washington Examiner, WashingtonExaminer.com. So with that in mind, Sarah, and I alluded to this in the introduction, is this causing a lot of the Democrats, at least initially primarily on the more liberal side, but will that start to snowball with the idea of, no, we're not going to deal with this stuff again with the Clintons, and that explains why instead of 100 people, Bernie Sanders is talking to 3,000, 5,000 people, and more people are saying, let's draft Joe Biden for 2016.
That's certainly indicative of the lack of enthusiasm that there is for Hillary Clinton. She hasn't commanded the same kind of crowds or drummed up the same kind of excitement, and so that's partially perhaps a reflection of these scandals and just the fact that she's been in public life for decades. It's hard for her at this point to reinvent herself as a populist champion, so to speak, as she has attempted to do. But, there's most people still agree that she is far and away the front runner to get the nomination. It would take a miracle to sort of prevent that from happening at this point because she has skated on top of these scandals and none of them have really made any serious dent in her pool numbers this early in the game.
And to follow along with all that is still to develop, as if enough hasn't already with the emails, WashingtonExaminer.com and the Watchdog section is the place to do it. And Sarah Westwood is one of the leading forces in getting the info and as much facts as possible from the clouds and the confusion out to you. Read it at WashingtonExaminer.com. Sarah Westwood, thanks for being here this morning.
Thanks for having me.